amongst us in a mighty way. Just really just sensed there as we were praying, God breaks in and has his way amongst us. But if you are sensing that you've had addictions, I just really just sense addictions God wants to break. And as you've prayed and trust that, I don't know what it is, there can be many aspects of addictions in our lives. We've come out of the world, and I just really believe God wants to set us free from those things. God has come to set us in a place of liberty and freedom. And I want to hear something. Amen? Oh, God loves you and wants the very best for you. I just wanted to say welcome to Mill Anderson. Mill's husband, George, passed away a few weeks ago. It's good to have you here with us. And I know he's with our Lord rejoicing at this time. He's seeing Jesus face to face. I'd like to pray as we enter into God's Word. Father, we just thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you, Lord, that we can trust you today. And thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. Not only did you go to the cross, but you're at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning over us today. And thank you, Lord, for what you've done in our midst, even here this morning. Something different, Lord. And we just thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit setting us free. Isaiah 61, Lord, setting the captives free. All of us, Lord, have been in bondage and been captive to sin and captive to this world. And you're continuing to liberate us and bring us to a place of freedom and liberty in you. And for that, Lord, we are eternally grateful. And we say thank you for working in our midst. And Lord, open up our minds now to hear your word and to see the grace of God flowing amongst us now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just want to say that the word of God is powerful and effective. There's just something with the word of God. And just open up your hearts and your minds to what God's doing in our midst today. In my office, my study, this book just came across my that just highlighted. And I want to just talk to parents here today. This is a book by Andrew Murray. But I just encourage parents here today, raise your children to love God. There was a lady, I saw a YouTube presentation the other day. She got so caught up in raising her kids and getting into the right school and the right vocation and all these things that she wanted to do. And the Lord arrested her and said, hand your children over to me and teach them to love me and to follow me. And she did that, and the Lord just brought an assurance. When you start to do that and you raise your children to love God, they will follow him and God will take control of their lives and make a success of their lives. So often today in this troubled South Africa and the troubled world that we live in, we put our hope in education, and education is not wrong. But don't put your hope in education. That does not open the doors for life. It's Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. So those are a lot of grannies here. Go and talk to your kids and go and encourage them in this regard. Teach them to teach their children to love God. If that's one of the highest things that you can ever do in your life, is to actually love God. You love God and teach your children to love God. Amen. Before we get into today, the Lord's Prayer, your kingdom come, I just sense that God wanted to encourage us again as we look into the agape way. And I just come today to encourage you. There's something of God's love that we really need to grow into. And one of the aspects that I want to just encourage us is that we need to trust God. The love of God and trusting God come together. And so often in our lives, God will test us. And I'm sure some of us are going even through the test now at this point in time. You love God, but he loves you. But are you trusting him? And the question is, if you're not trusting him, how do you measure that? If you walk in worry, are you anxious? Are you walking in unbelief? And the measure of that is not to condemn you, but it's to say is that you're not trusting him. Because God is a God that is trustworthy. And we need to trust him with all our hearts. Because that is what God's love is. And I want you to turn to your Bibles, and I want you to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and we know this. It's the love chapter, but do we practice it? And we read from verse 7. It's got this aspect. It says, love, it always protects, it always trusts, it always hopes, it always perseveres. But I wanted you to focus on that, the dot, 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 always trusts. And I want to encourage you here today with when you link your love relationship, if you love God, you will always trust him. Now we see these youngsters, these 2-year-olds, and that they just trust. Now I don't know what you're going through and what you're facing in your life, and I'm sure there's trials and there's things that you're looking at. But I want to, yes, we need to have faith. But I want to say the underlying of faith is a trust in a loving God, because you love Him. And you, if you're not trusting Him, I wanted to say to you, maybe you don't love Him. Not to condemn you, because love and trust are linked together. And I want to encourage you in your relationship with your God, are you trusting Him? Trust in the Lord, lean on your understanding, acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. This is not rocket science. You're part of the family of God, and I just sense our Father wants you to encourage you, because He loves you and because you love Him, trust Him with everything. And the significance of that is what happened last week. God brought us to our knees. He brought us to a place to hand over our lives again and put us in the place of who is Lord of our lives and who's taken ownership of our lives. And that's what you need to do. You don't have to take control of your life anymore. You have to follow, and you have to trust like you've never trusted before. We live in a country where there's change. Hallelujah! You must smile and laugh at the news. You don't get despondent. This is a time to rejoice. Our God is on the throne. It's not a time to fear. God's bringing these changes. I believe it. This is not man-made. God's allowing it. And whatever man is doing, well, it'll always end up in folly. But we trust our God. And that's why we pray. And I'm telling you now, God is working in our lives and in this nation for the good. This nation will not sink. Will not. Because God is on the throne. And we trust in Him. And He will come through for us. So don't try and work it out how it's going to work out. God will work it out. Keep your eyes upon Him. And my encouragement is, the love of God is linked to trusting Him with all your heart. Amen. We're going to be looking at the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come. And I want to just say, when the Lord brought this portion of Scripture to us about the Lord's Prayer, Your Kingdom Come, it was a radical message. My understanding is that the kingdom wasn't preached before Jesus came. It was about Israel. It was about the law. It was about blessing Israel. It wasn't about God's kingdom. And when Jesus came and says, now it's about the kingdom. The kingdom is near. The message that Jesus preached was about the kingdom of God. And here He comes and he teaches us to start to pray, Your Kingdom Come. Jesus lived under the Roman Empire. Now, we don't understand what they lived under there, but I believe that the Roman Empire was a very cruel rulers, very cruel. Even today, I was reading in Luke chapter 13, they said, they came and told Jesus that Pilate murdered some Galileans as they went to the temple to worship. Now, I was just pondering and thinking about that. Jesus was from Galilee. Galilee is a small place. He actually must have known who they were, those individuals. They maybe might have been His friends. But you know what? Jesus never ever responded to that. He never criticized Pilate. He never said anything about the Roman Empire. He got back onto the kingdom, His purpose to preach the kingdom. And I come here today is to encourage us, because I really believe God wants to change our thinking, that we are no longer of this world, even though we're in this world. We live in this world, but we have another authority over us. We have the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who rules and reigns over us and in us. And we, if you get anything out of today, I want you to remember, you're no longer part of the dominion of darkness. You're part of the kingdom of God. You're part of the kingdom of His Son. If you can get that into your mind today, and you can walk with that authority, that no problem belongs to this world. Your bank account is not your source. Your healing is not the doctor. Even though God uses banks and He uses doctors, and we thank God for them. God is. The source is the kingdom of God. And we've got to be trusting God for that. And Colossians 1:13 says, He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. And I'm just so excited as I've pondered on this and allowed God to just reveal this to me. This thing of His kingdom to come is not a nebulous, insignificant message. It is a powerful message in the time that we live here now. Because if you live in the world, you're going to get fearful. You're going to panic. And you're going to start to move your investments overseas. And you're going to look after your money. And I'm not saying that's wrong or right. But I'm telling you now, if you understand whose kingdom you belong to, you're going to be secure. Going to be secure. And I want it today, as you leave this place today, I want you to be secure in God. You belong to another. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and He is in control. And He is your Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, Jesus taught us to pray, Your kingdom come. Talking about our Father. Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Just the context, what Jesus went and did, they started to preach about the kingdom. In Acts chapter 28, verse 30-31, for 2 whole years, Paul stayed there in his own rented house and welcomed all who came to see him. Boldly and without hindrance, he preached the kingdom of God and taught about the Lord Jesus Christ. That was at the end of Acts. He never taught his pet subject. He taught the kingdom of God. And I think there's a revelation that we need to have and understand the dimensions of the kingdom of God. Jesus, as you go and read the Gospels, talks about the kingdom. There are so many aspects to this kingdom. And we've got to allow the birthing to take place in our hearts. What is the kingdom? And hopefully we will address that and maybe we will answer that today. Jesus replied in John chapter 3, verse 3, he says to Nicodemus, I tell you the truth, no one can see the kingdom of God unless he is born again. You cannot see it unless you are born again because it's spiritual, it's unseen. In Luke chapter 6, verse 20, he said to his disciples, Blessed are the who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. It's our inheritance. It's not the last will and testament of your parents and that's your inheritance. You've received the kingdom. Isn't that incredible? It belongs to you. The prodigal son didn't know the inheritance that he had. We have received. Are you living in your inheritance, this kingdom of God that has been given to us? Luke chapter 17, verse 21. Once having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God will come, Jesus replied, The kingdom of God does not come with your careful observation, nor will people say, Here it is, there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. Why? Christ comes to live in you, and Christ is the kingdom. Christ is the kingdom. In Acts chapter 19:8, Paul entered the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, arguing persuasively about the kingdom of God. This needs to be our message. This needs to be understanding. We need to have a paradigm shift. We cannot live as the world lives. We cannot live in understanding the world. We've got to understand that we belong to another and start to take hold of the resources of this kingdom that God has given us. It is ours. We cannot see it, but it's ours. We've got to activate it. We've got to use our faith. We've got to use the Word of God that it brings and out of that to see the life of God. Interesting. Israel was given a hope of a Messiah that would save them. And when they saw Jesus, what did they think? They thought, here's the Messiah. But how was their deliverance to come? They thought that God was going to raise up a military ruler that would stand up and they would combine together and Israel would rise up again and will conquer the Roman Empire and deliver them. And that was contrary to what God's plan was. God the Father had a plan to send His Son to the cross to purchase you and I for Him, that the kingdom could truly come, that through the death and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the kingdom of God could come and live inside our hearts. This is an incredible privilege for every one of us. I remember as a young Christian, I couldn't understand this. Lord, I said, this is just difficult to understand. And the Lord brought me to that scripture, the kingdom of God is within you. And meditate on that and ponder on that. Christ in you, Colossians 1 verse 20, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. The kingdom of God in you. It cannot be seen, but within your heart, the kingdom has come. You're not going to receive it later. You've received it as you've given Jesus to be Lord of your life. He's come to live inside of you. The kingdom of God has come. There we go. Your kingdom come. So focusing on God is our best interest. We're in the world today, we are taught to consider ourselves. It's a me, myself generation. It's about our needs. Even in the church, we are pervading today that much of the teaching today and prayer is all man-centered, and we've forgotten about God. We've forgotten about who He is and where He wants to rule and reign. And I come today is to encourage you is that Jesus teaches us not to consider ourselves first, but to consider Him and to consider His kingdom. And when we start to seek first the kingdom of God, what starts to take place? Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Added to you when you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. We don't always understand that. But when we start to put Him in the throne of our lives, and when He begins to rule and reign over our lives, then something transpires. The things that the world is chasing after becomes our inheritance because we put Him first. Now, many Christians don't do that. Many don't. Why? Because the things of the world become more enticing. And I want to say to you, lose your life, as God encouraged us last week, lose your life, that you can find the fullness of His kingdom today, not tomorrow, today. I want to just say to you is that if you deal with selfishness and you deal with this pride and arrogance in your own heart and seek first His kingdom, you will start to see these things added to your life. A two-year-old is selfish. Me, 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 me. Have you seen a two-year-old? Sometimes we don't grow up. And we don't let go. And I want to encourage you, let go and let God. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and these things shall be open to you. You see, when the kingdom has come, God gives us the invitation to participate, to partake and partner with His kingdom. I really believe this is one of the greatest enterprises that the world is you can find. Every one of us want to get into a great organization, into a great company, or into a great structure, and we want to purport to take that thing forward. But God has given this incredible opportunity to take His kingdom, to advance His kingdom. And the Bible says we forcefully advance His kingdom. But many haven't taken hold of the reins and say, I'm going to go and advance this kingdom. Why? Because we've got me, myself, I in the way. And when we don't get that out of the way, we can't advance His kingdom. You can't follow because you need to follow someone to advance His kingdom. There's a king that needs to be followed. And that's what Jesus encouraged us, the simplicity, simply is to follow Him and advance His kingdom. Jesus teaches us to pray, Your kingdom come. Challenges our hearts. The message of Jesus, it's an actualization. Let us experience this kingdom. God wants this kingdom to be a reality. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 17, Jesus began to preach and said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. He enticed the people at that time to say, it is near. He whet their appetite and He said, it's near, it's coming. And when He went to the cross and He died for us, and on the day of Pentecost, the reality came, the kingdom of God has come. We are blessed. We're not like Israel that lived under the Mosaic law. It's not under the people that are waiting, even in Jesus' day. We live post the cross, we post resurrection, and we're living in the kingdom today. And I want to say it's your privilege and my privilege today to live in this kingdom. His kingdom has come. It's a reality. Matthew 5, verse 33, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. God wants to open up our eyes that we can see His kingdom. The disciples' perception of the kingdom The disciples also again had the whole thing is that Jesus would also come and bring a visible and victorious kingdom that will overcome the Roman Empire. And how wrong they were and how wrong sometimes we think. As I said before, it's Christ has come to live in our hearts. The kingdom of God is within us. The kingdom of God is meant to be invisible, but yet visible to our hearts. The kingdom of God takes place in our hearts. That's where the kingdom comes. It's not far away, it's in you. It's in you. And you've got to ponder on that, because sometimes that's not a reality as you think upon it. The kingdom of God has come to take place in your hearts. How does the kingdom of God come? We've said already that you need to be born again. But there are many hardships that come that you might enter into the kingdom of God, because you've got to learn some lessons as you walk with God. It comes through brokenness. It comes through persecution. Our righteousness has to exceed that of the Pharisees. It's not a natural righteousness. It's a righteousness that's been given by Christ. We have to shine the righteousness of God. That's right standing with God and revealing that to man. Sorry. Do you want the kingdom to come? And I ask that question because not many want the kingdom of God to come. They want that the systems of the world to continue, and they want to do their will, their way. And I want to just say, God's called the church to fight, to advance the kingdom of God. Not to sit back, to be, in a sense, to be violent, to become men of war, men and women of war, and to fight for this thing to take place. You might be going through stuff in your home. You might be going stuff in your business. You might be in the circumstances. But fight for the kingdom of God established in that place. The rule and the reign of Jesus over that place. And there's war when it comes to that. Ephesians chapter 6. We don't wage a war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil. That's where we're facing today in our nation. We're not fighting flesh and blood, but we're fighting for the advancement of the kingdom of God. And we have to take authority. We have to stand up as an army of God in prayer. It's good to stand and to petition. I agree that we've got to make our voice heard peacefully in obedience to the laws of the land. But we have to pray. We have a responsibility to advance His kingdom. And the Lord said, "Your kingdom, His kingdom come." We have to advance it because we are His hands, His legs, His eyes, His mouth. He has no other way to advance His kingdom on earth here today. It's a reality, but how do we advance it? It's you and I. And we have an incredible opportunity, and I thank God for what's happening in our nation. We have an incredible opportunity to display the kingdom of God and to advance the kingdom of God. And that's why we're calling you to pray. The 22nd, Angus is calling the nation to pray. But if you can't get there, we're getting together to stand together. Pray. It's not weak and it's not feeble. It's powerful before God. We come to the throne of grace and we stand before our Father. And He hears our prayers and He answers our prayers. He wants us to advance the kingdom of God. I was in the military. And when there was an enemy, you put plans together. I was actually in the intelligence, and I saw how the intelligence put it together. It was in very, don't think the military was just something simple. It's very involved. Same with the kingdom of God. It's involved in the advancement. The Holy Spirit leads us. We don't always understand these things. But in the simplicity of prayer, we take the authority and we advance to take over the strongholds of the enemy. You and I have work to do in this nation, in our families, in our workplaces, to take back what belongs to God. And God has given us the authority of this kingdom to every one of us through His name and through His word by the Holy Spirit. And we need to advance. We can't be sitting back and just be sitting in our chairs and say, "My name is written in the kingdom. My name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, and Lord, I'm going home." No, 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 no. If He wanted us to go home, we would all go in an instant. We wouldn't be here. He wants us to advance His kingdom, to make His love known to who He is. And you and I have a responsibility. This is our finest hour. This is not a place of weakness. Let's advance the kingdom together. Your kingdom come, Lord. Let's stand together as a body, the body of Christ. Let's pray. Let's work together. Let's love. Let's give the gospel out. May this be our most powerful hour. We talk about revival, folk. I want to say the revival is when we stand up together and united, and we go forward with this gospel, this kingdom, and advance and let Jesus be glorified in our midst. I want to just say to you, God has done something incredible for us that we got to rise up and we got to do something about it. God doesn't call us to passivity, but He calls us to violence in prayer, standing together, taking authority over the rulers of darkness and spiritual forces of evil, and we gain the victory. Revelation talks about those who are overcomers, and you're an overcomer when you stand up and you work together with God. God's will for His kingdom, God's will is for His body to rise up and to advance His kingdom, for Him to rule and to reign, not only at the right hand of the Father, but rule and reign in your heart. And this is some of the greatest challenges every one of you have to face as we're going to work it out together as the church to do it, but in your individual life, is Jesus ruling and reigning as Lord of your heart. We've given ownership now. But now when He rules and He reigns and we follow, it demands what? Obedience. When you're in the army, you better obey. The commands are given. And Jesus even gives very clearly, He says in John, He says, if you obey My commands, not My suggestions. When God speaks, He speaks. His word is always a command. And He expects obedience, nothing less, because He's God. Yet He's loving and He's kind and He's gentle and He's patient. I read a story this week about a man just saying he was praying for a man. He was on his deathbed. And this man went to go and pray for him. And he wanted to trust God for healing for this man to be healed. And the Lord said to him, don't pray for his healing. And this other gentleman said, no, Lord, I cannot do that. Your word says I must pray for his healing. And the Lord said, don't pray for his healing. He's been disobedient to Me for 36 years. He needs to die. And God is patient for 36 years. Disobedience. This is the King that we serve. He's called us. He's loving. He's wonderful. But He is God. He's almighty, and it's His kingdom, and it's His dominion. His will must be done on earth. And we've got to do some paradigm shifts. We've got to do this radical adjustment. See, God wants to establish His kingdom on earth. He does not want to put Israel back on the map. The Mosaic law is not where He's going. He's come to establish His kingdom. Hear me. And just be careful. We don't follow back into the Israel ways, the Hebrew roots. We follow the kingdom. It's Christ. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Advance in His kingdom. Jesus ruling and reigning at the right hand of the Father and ruling in our hearts. Your kingdom come. Grasping the meaning of the kingdom of God, it's simply the realm of God's domain. God alone is sovereign. We cannot deny that. We're not trying to establish Him again, whether He's ruling or reigning. He is. No matter what the world is saying, that He doesn't exist, He is. He is ruling and reigning. He is in authority. He doesn't allow rebellion and competition and rivalry. He is sovereign. He is the Almighty. The kingdom is immediate, direct, and conscious witness of the Holy Spirit. And this is where I really want to encourage you. This is where we know the kingdom of God. It's the Holy Spirit that has come to live inside of you. and we walk together with Him. He brings the reality of Christ, the reality of the kingdom of God, and we have to walk in that place of an unquenched Holy Spirit. I'm sorry I'm referencing this book again, but I dare to call Him Father. It has been a revelation to me again. She walks in the unquenched, ungrieved presence of the Holy Spirit. She measures her life, advancing the kingdom in her actions and her thought life. Have I offended? Have I grieved God, the Holy Spirit, within me? And that's a reality in all our lives as we live life, as we live this kingdom. How do we ensure that we do not grieve the Holy Spirit? We walk in love. As soon as we walk in criticism, God walks away. As soon as we start walking in complaining and we start to walk in unbelief, the presence lifts. And it's that simple. Just measure the presence of God within you. This is the kingdom of God within you. Measure. It's a reality. It's not something to be waiting for. It's a reality. And I want you to know that as you live life in what you're doing, whether it's your cooking or driving, can I just say, driving down the road and that taxi pulls in front of you and the way you react, right or wrong, can quench the Spirit of God. How do we get back? We repent. We say sorry. We get back into the presence. Don't think about the other person. See, this is how important it is. How does God live inside of us? And how do we keep it unquenched, the reality of this kingdom? Because it is a reality by the Holy Spirit. This is not something that's far away. It's got to be a reality on a day-to-day basis. Not a physical manifestation always, but a reality of within. God is within you. And we've got to live in this immediate, direct consciousness of the Holy Spirit. You have got to develop that. Can I just say, I see in my own life, by the way we speak, we can harden our hearts. The way we react, we can harden our hearts. Can I just say, the Lord had to arrest me some years ago, if we continue to criticize our government and criticize this nation, we get into a place of complaining, I want to tell you, you harden your heart and the presence of God is not there. Jesus taught us that he lived under the most oppressive empire, the Romans. He never said anything, but he turned to his Father and he advanced the kingdom of God. Not doing nothing, advancing the kingdom of God. And I want to encourage us, where we find ourselves in this, I'm not saying not being a realist and understanding the times, you must, but let's be in a place. Let's not get critical, because why? It's not about the government. It's not about the ANC. It's not about the DA. It's not about them. It's about you and your relationship with God, and are you walking in the presence of Almighty God now, advancing His kingdom? You. And will we do that individually in our lives? And I want to encourage you, please, please be tender. Be in a place where you don't grieve the Holy Spirit. You do not quench Him, and you'll experience the wonder of this kingdom. Grasping the kingdom is a hunger and thirst for righteousness. Matthew 5, verse 6. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. It comes back to that, seek first the kingdom of God with all your heart. When you get up in the morning, what are you looking for? I'm not saying don't eat breakfast and have your nice cup of tea and your cup of coffee, but what are you seeking? What is your day about? What are you establishing for the day? Is it your to-do list, but is it for the kingdom of God, the people that God's going to put across your path? And even if it's not the people about that puts you across your path, is it about Him? Is it about to worship Him? And is it about giving thanks and glory to Him? I want to encourage you to do that. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And I know when you start to practice that, you'll experience the manifest presence of God. You'll start to hear His voice. Maybe you've got to a place where you are dull and deaf and you're not hearing the presence of the person of God within you. And I want to encourage you, as you seek first Him, He will begin to speak to you again and reveal Himself to you in a wonderful, wonderful way. God speaks. But the problem is we don't listen. And I want to encourage you, hear what the Spirit of God is actually saying to you. Get into a place of of tenderness and allow Him to speak to you. The kingdom of God is not only future, it is now. So often people are thinking just when we get to heaven, then we will see the fullness of the kingdom of God. I come to encourage you and say today, God wants to advance his kingdom today in the world, in this world that we live in, and he wants us to take hold of it and make it a reality. People need to see the kingdom of God again, the rule and reign of Jesus in and through our lives. There's a paradox regarding the kingdom of God. We are to pray for the kingdom of God to come, even though it has been established by Jesus. Even though God is sovereign and he's our monarch and he is our king, he rules and reigns over this universe. He's at the right hand of the Father and he rules and reigns in our heart. Yet, he calls us to pray for his kingdom to advance because he wants everyone to come and know him as Lord and Savior. And I think that's only when Jesus is going to come back, when his kingdom has advanced and people have heard the good news. And we've got a job to do. And God is waiting upon us that we've got to get up and we've got to get out and we've got to go and tell people about Jesus. And we all have a responsibility to do that. It's not just for the evangelist. It's for every single one of us needs to get up and go and advance the kingdom of God. And then we need to be praying for the second coming. It will come whether we pray or not. But God wants us to be involved in his second coming. He wants to answer our prayers. The Corinthian church cried out, "Maranatha," which means, "Come, Lord Jesus, come." They were praying for his immediate return. I think the church has lost a bit of that. We're not expecting our God to come back. We need to be expecting that Jesus will come back powerfully and come and be the judge and be the king again and rule and reign over the nations of the earth. He is coming back. He is coming back, and he will come back. The Father knows the time when he will come back. And then praying for the kingdom to come for his greater glory. When the kingdom comes, God is glorified. And we need to seek the glory of our God. We cannot be seeking our own glory. We've got to see that when his kingdom manifests, God is glorified. Don't always understand the concept of God's glory. But it's something that he needs because he's God Almighty. And when he does his work in and through us, he must get all the glory. And we want him to get the glory in and through us. Then the manifestation of the kingdom of God. And I believe as the days go forward, as we trust God for his kingdom to come, and I've encouraged already, firstly, is the ungrieved state of the Holy Spirit. We need to ensure as we live our lives that we walk in that position where we do not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit in any way. He will not leave us, but we will walk in that place that he would actually be a reality in our lives. It's the most precious place to walk in the presence of Almighty God. It's the highest place that we can walk in. It's a promise to every one of us, not something to attain. It's got to be a reality. And I want to encourage you, work hard. Work hard of an ungrieved face of walking with the Holy Spirit. Then as the kingdom is manifest, I want to just say there's going to be a greater marriage between the Word and the Spirit. We're going to see more as we begin to speak his Word and see the Spirit come and manifest. It's that combustion that is needed for the Word to be ignited by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I believe as we see the kingdom advanced in the days ahead, we're going to see more and more of the Spirit of God and the Word of God coming together and seeing the outpouring of his Spirit manifest through his Word. And then thirdly, we're going to see the kingdom coming through apostolic power. And I believe not just in the book of Acts where we saw apostolic power, we're going to start to see that happening as we advance and work with our God, to see that God will begin to work the outpouring of his Spirit. You and I will be used powerfully in our lives, but more than that, in the nations, God's apostolic power is going to be released. I believe that God still wants to save Israel, and there's a remnant that needs to be saved, and God will lift their blindness off their eyes, and they will come back to Christ. I believe that in the times to come, that God will penetrate Islam, and millions of Muslims and Arabs will come to the Lord. I cry for the Middle East. When we see what's happening there, these poor creations of God have been destroyed through darkness, through the evil one. And God wants to penetrate into that 1040 window, and millions of them come to God, and even pagans to come to Christ. God loves the sinner. And that's when the kingdom of God comes. It's not all about us. God pervading into their lives. So in conclusion, when you pray, your kingdom come, it is a powerful, powerful prayer. You belong to another. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. It's not something that is just rote. You belong to the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is within you, and the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Christ in and through you and rule and reign through you. Let's stand together and advance the kingdom of God. Yes, let's stand. I think that's a good one. I saw that movement. Let's stand as the army of God and pray together. Lord, I just thank you. It was your master plan to bring your kingdom through you coming to be our Lord and Savior and going to the cross for us and dying for us. But Lord, we just thank you as we live this life here on earth. Thank you that you haven't called us home, but you've given us this incredible opportunity to be partners with you, to partake in the kingdom and to advance the kingdom. And I really ask, Lord, as we just bring us as a body, your body here in Modderfontein, Lord, will you use us powerfully to advance your kingdom? Lord, will you give us the words to bring glory to your name? May we not stand back. May we not become weak in hearing what you're wanting to do. May this army that you've raised here on earth, Lord, continue to advance so powerfully to push back the forces of darkness. And even as we stand here together, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Father, we lift our nation before you. We thank you that she belongs to you as we committed to you last week. But again, Lord, we just take our authority as we advance the kingdom. We stand against the forces of darkness. We stand against the principalities and the rulers of wickedness that are ruling over this nation and over this earth. And Lord, we just take authority even now. And we push back those forces of darkness in the name of Jesus. As the scripture says, Satan, we resist you and you must flee. And Lord, we declare your protection over this nation, over its peoples, believer and unbeliever, Lord. We protect this peoples from the evil one and destruction, where the evil one will try and bring death and darkness to this nation. We thank you, Lord. We protect this nation for the release of your light and your abundance and your life. And Lord, will you use every one of us to advance your kingdom? I pray that you would raise up powerful men and women in our midst, Lord, that would get that unction in their hearts, that they would be, can I say, militant for the kingdom. They would be violent for the kingdom. They would not be passive, that they'd truly be soldiers of Christ. Soldiers of Christ in your love, Lord, with a double-edged sword, Lord, resisting the devil and advancing through your love. I pray, Lord, give us wisdom in the days ahead as we go forward to declare who you are. May you give us great success, Lord, as we work out the advancement of you in our hearts and in this nation and in the nations of the earth. And Lord, even with that, we wanted to say, Lord, every prophetic promise that you've placed over this church, that's your people, Lord, we will fulfill because we work with you and we're going to go and do it, Lord, because we stand together in you. United, Lord, united in you to glorify your name now. So, Lord, bless us as we go our separate ways, as we contemplate these days ahead. May we walk in your peace and your assurance with no fear and anxiety, trusting you and allowing you to be Lord over everything we put our hand to now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Seek first the kingdom of God. Advance his kingdom. Amen. Deacons, just remember, we've got a meeting top afterwards and his tea and coffee. And for those that are visitors, come and have a good cup.